Michael McKenna is now going to come to give us today's Bible reading. Thanks, Michael.
Our reading from the first book of Samuel, verses 1 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." "Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me." But the Lord said, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look on the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at his heart." Then Jesse called Aminadab and made him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then made Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down till he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. May God bless this reading to our lives.
Thank you for that, Michael. Have you ever heard someone described as a jack of all trades but master of none? I'm a bit like that. I try and do lots of different things, but I don't always exceed very well at them. But on the other hand, there are some people who are a jack of all trades and they can manage to do almost anything. And today we're going to be looking at one of the characters of the Old Testament, this man Samuel, who seemed to be one of those people who could do almost anything that he turned his hand to. He could be described as a jack of all trades and master of nearly all of them. So during his lifetime, this man Samuel carried out many different things. At one time he was a judge, then a priest, then a prophet, a military leader, and a counsellor. And in all these roles, he succeeded well. Samuel lived about 3,000 years ago, and his life story is recorded in this book of the Old Testament called 1 Samuel, chapters 1 to 28. And although Samuel had many different jobs to do during his lifetime, the one thing that stands out about his life is that in everything he recognized that he was God's servant. So that's why I entitled today's talk, Samuel, a Man of God. The Lord worked through Samuel because he was genuinely dedicated to serving God. So before we think about the reading that Michael read, let's just take a whistle-stop tour of Samuel's life, shall we? His dad's name was Elkanah, his mum's name was Hannah, but sadly Hannah was childless. So every year she went to the Lord's house at Shiloh to pray for the gift of a son or daughter. And eventually her prayers were answered and she gave birth to a son and she named him Samuel. The name Samuel sounds like the Hebrew word for heard of God. Her prayers had been heard and so she called her son Samuel. And Hannah was so grateful for this son Samuel that she promised to give him back to God. And when he was old enough, she took him back to the house of God in Shiloh and left him there with Eli the priest to serve God. Hannah said, I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted me what I asked for. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord. So Hannah went home to Ramah. Samuel stayed in Shiloh with Eli. And Samuel grew in favour with God and the people. We can probably all remember the call of Samuel from our Sunday school days, can't we? You remember we used to sing, Hushed was the evening hymn. The temple courts were dark. The lamp was burning dim before the sacred ark. When suddenly a voice divine rang through the silence of the shrine. Some of you will remember that. That was how Samuel was called. Laying in his bed, he heard his name being called. He thought it was Eli, but in actual fact, it was God calling him to serve him. So God appointed Samuel as a prophet and a judge, and he became famous throughout Israel. Samuel was also used by God to defeat the Philistine armies, and he continued to be a judge in Israel until his old age. Samuel had two sons called Joel and Abijah, and initially Samuel hoped that they would succeed him as a judge. But Joel and Abijah weren't in the same category as Samuel. They were dishonest, they accepted bribes, they perverted the course of justice, and so they couldn't follow in Samuel's footsteps and become judges of the nations. So the people became restless and started to demand a king, like the other nations round about. And Samuel's first role was to anoint Saul as the first king of Israel. And although Saul started out very well, he soon began to disobey God. And eventually Samuel had to go to Saul with a message from God to saying, you have been rejected by God. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. So Saul is on his way out. And it's at this point that we come to today's Bible passage, because Samuel is now being asked to go and anoint someone else as king in place of Saul. So God sends Samuel to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem. God said, be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse in Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. And of course, there's tension in the air at this point, because Samuel is worried that he's in danger. If Saul finds out that he's going to anoint someone else in his place, Samuel's going to be put to death. And the leaders of the town in Bethlehem were worried as well at the unexpected arrival of Samuel. They thought that he'd come with a message of judgment on them. And that's the reason why in verse 4 of the reading, the leaders of the town of Bethlehem asked Samuel, do you come in peace? And Samuel is able to tell the elders that he has indeed come in peace, because he wants to offer some sacrifices to the Lord there, and he invites Jesse and his sons to come along. And as Michael read, seven of Jesse's sons appear before Samuel. All of them are handsome and tall and look just the category of a person to become king. Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me, Samuel says. But God says to him, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And eventually Samuel has to say to Jesse, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these sons. Haven't you got anybody else? And they're still the youngest, Jesse says. He is out tending the sheep. Send for him, said Samuel. And when David arrives, the Lord speaks clearly to Samuel and said, he's the one. Rise and anoint him. So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed David in the presence of his brothers, and from that day onwards, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in great power. So that's the whistle-stop story of Samuel up to this point in his life. So what lessons can we learn from the life of Samuel? Three things I want to share with you this morning. Firstly, we learn that God sees more than skin deep. In our world today, it seems that people's appearances and achievements are the most important things in life. We judge people by how they look. But it's very reassuring to know that God is not interested in our status or our appearance, because God looks at the inward appearance. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We're not talking about that muscle that pumps blood around our body when we say the heart. We're talking about our innermost selves. God sees us as we really are. He knows our thoughts. He knows our true character. He sees us as we are now, but he also sees the potential we have to become something different. We're told not to judge a book by its cover, aren't we? And we're not to judge a person by their appearance. How much money we've got doesn't matter to God. What we own isn't important to God. What other people see in us or think about us doesn't matter to God. Because God knows what we are really able to achieve. God chose a shepherd boy to be king over Israel. He chose Galilean fishermen to be his first disciples. He chose a woman to be the first person to witness the resurrection. He chose a child to teach us about the greatness of the kingdom of God. So what is it that does matter to God if it's not our outward appearance? What matters to God is that we should be people after God's own heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, Samuel warned King Saul, "Your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people." And the man who was a person after God's own heart was Jesse's youngest son, David. So what does it mean to be a person after God's own heart? It means that we must love God above everything else. Through good times and bad times, the love that David had for God did not waver. How much more then should we as Christians love our Heavenly Father above all others? We know how much God loves us because he has demonstrated his love for us by sending his Son who died for us while we were still sinners. And nextly, we become a person after God's own heart by giving him his rightful place in our lives. David wanted to show everyone that the Lord God was the one who should take honour and glory, because when he defeated the Philistine giant Goliath, David said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." So David didn't want to take the glory for himself. He wanted the whole world to know that there was a God in Israel. So we too can bring joy to the heart of God when the things that we do and the things that we say show to other people how important God is to us. We might be relatively unimportant people in the world's eyes, but the story of the selection of David to become king should give us a great deal of encouragement. Although we are weak and sinful, God has achieved everything for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we'll be remembering this when we come to the communion table later in the service. David was described as a man after God's own heart. What better description can there be for you and for me than to be known as a person whose greatest desire is to become like God? God has got the power through the Holy Spirit to change our hearts. God has said that I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. So we come on to the second thing. Secondly, we learn that God's love is unchangeable. The life of David after his anointing by Samuel doesn't have a fairy tale, happy ever after ending. Those of you who know the life story of David will remember that it includes heartache and sin and failure, including lust, adultery and murder. But despite David's failures and weaknesses, God still carried on loving him. And what was true for God, for David in his day and age, is still true for us today. God's free gift of salvation is still available to all those of us who recognise our sin and failure and come to Jesus for forgiveness and restoration. You don't need to try and win God's love by trying to be a better person. God already loves you completely, and his love stays the same despite our sins and failures. We can come to God through Jesus just as we are. He will welcome us, and just like the Heavenly Father, just like the Father in the parable of the prodigal son, he will welcome us home. God's love is unchanging, and his love never fails. And thirdly, we learn that God can transform people. In verse 13 of the reading, Samuel anointed David to be the next king. An anointing oil was poured over David's head, symbolizing that he was being set apart for God's service and that he would be God's representative to the nation. David, the shepherd boy, was to be transformed into a king. And just like David, God has plans for us. There's work that needs to be done in his service, but we cannot do it in our own strength. We need to be empowered by God's anointing, which for us is by accepting God's gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, we read that from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in great power. And in the same way today, the Holy Spirit is available for you and for me to enable us to serve God in the world. And the Holy Spirit not only helps us to serve God, but the Holy Spirit begins to change us from the inside out so that gradually we can become more like God himself. God saw the potential in David. Samuel couldn't see it, but God knew it. And God was able to transform a shepherd boy into a king. And God can see the potential in you and in me. Because although people look at the outward appearance, the Lord looks at the heart. Like me, you probably feel you've got a long way to go in the process of being transformed into the likeness of God. As long as we've made a start by committing our life to Jesus and trying to follow him every day, we will change, empowered by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We can know with confidence that we will eventually share that glorious future in eternity, which is promised to all believers. So three important things I think we can learn from this incident of Samuel choosing and anointing David. First of all, we can learn that God sees more than skin deep. He sees what we're really like. God's love is unchangeable. He continues loving us no matter what. And God can transform us by his Holy Spirit to become more like him. God sees more than skin deep. God's love is unchangeable. God can transform us. These things applied in the life of David, they are equally important for us as lessons today. Amen. Amen. And so with thankfulness and faith, we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim that Christ will come again and we'll join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King. Dear Lord, we do thank you for revealing your love to us again today. Send us out from here in the power of your Holy Spirit. Fan into flame the gifts that you have given to us. Continue to reveal your grace and truth to us each day. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.